This is Ringside Radio. Your ringside ticket to some of the finest wrestling talk around. And now, here are your hosts, Grim Chorizo, Katrina Cena, and Sloppy Joe!
Hey everybody! Ringside Radio, Grim Chorizo, joined as always with Katrina Cena and Sloppy Joe, and it is just days away from WrestleMania. Play button, I mean 31. WrestleMania 31. It is Wednesday, and it is WrestleMania week. But I want to ask you guys, does it feel like WrestleMania?
Nope.
No?
No.
Not feeling it.
No, it's just because the build-up's not there. Like, they have the big matches like they always do. It's just the build-up for most of the storylines really aren't there, especially that main event.
Yeah, the main event. And there's no regard for the tag team titles, which have now, if I understand correctly, been moved to the pre-show.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that irritates me because Cesaro and Tyson Kidd are two of my favorite guys. So the fact that there's no regard for the tag team championship match, it's been moved to the pre-show. Like Sloppy said, there's not a lot of build for...
Yeah.
Especially the main event, which I have no interest or investment in the main event anyway. So I'm just like, ugh. This is the least excited I've been about a WrestleMania ever.
Yeah, like, it just...
I know that sounds super negative, but I was talking to a friend on the phone today, and he was like, are you sick? Are you okay? You're not excited about WrestleMania? And I said, well, I know I will be when we're watching, but right now, it just doesn't feel like it.
Yeah, it just feels like any other pay-per-view. Like, I feel like I was more excited for the Rumble than I was WrestleMania.
Yeah. I'm, like, not really... super excited. I have a little excitement just because it's WrestleMania.
Right.
Like, the aura of it. But, yeah, I would say last year I remember being super, super excited all week. Especially when it was basically known that Daniel Bryan was going to have a shot to actually be in the main event, and they were fixing what they messed up, you know. So there was a lot to be excited about. But this year, honestly, the card, when you... actually look at it, is pretty damn good. It's just, when you've got a main event that is supposed to sell your pay-per-view, like, that's kind of the point, you know? Mm-hmm. It's the main event for a reason, and it's just... no.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to build a story when one of the main guys fighting in it never shows up. And has a mouthpiece talking from... granted, Heyman is great on the mic, and Heyman...
and Lesnar should not talk on the mic.
Exactly. Yeah. But him and the other guy who's there every week can't talk on the mic.
Right. It's almost like he needs a representative, too. It's like Heyman needs to represent both of them because he's the only competent speaker of the bunch.
Which would be great if he just cut up... just imagine Heyman just cutting a promo for both sides.
Then he runs
sides.
To the other side and starts talking for Reigns. That would be great.
Pretty awesome, actually.
I'd watch that.
Yeah.
Because, really, we're talking about build, and we're already talking about this main event, quotations. But, so let's talk about this build, quotations. The only confrontation that the two competitors had, other than in WWE headquarters the night after WrestleMania, was this week on Raw. And, Katrina, I don't think you saw this, right? So that's for the... best.
I didn't. I was really tired, and I just kind of said, sorry guys, I'm going to go home. And now that I've heard about it, which obviously you guys can describe it in greater detail, I am glad that I went home and got a head start on brushing my teeth. Because
much
I
more
think
exciting. They could have put you brushing your teeth up on the TV, and everyone would be like, yeah, WrestleMania! Because this...
probably because I was chasing my cats out of the sink. So it probably was pretty entertaining.
So... yeah, thankfully you didn't have to see this, but Paul Heyman, he cuts a promo, you know.
Which was good, of course.
Good, but I wasn't super paying attention because I was just like, whatever. But then, you know, Roman and Brock staring down, and I just... so I'm expecting, and I'm sure you are, like, all right, this is going to end with someone laid out. Mm-hmm. Probably Roman laid out. Mm-hmm. Well, all that happens is Roman snags the title... Brock snags the title. They're both holding on to it, and they're like, give me! I want the title! I want the title! That's it. They're playing tug-of-war, and the thing is, I thought this was going to lead into, like, all right, Roman's going to spear him, or we're going to get an F5. And then it fades out 5 seconds after they're tugging on this thing. That is the end of a go-home, which I could complain about that for. I could probably complain for this whole podcast about that one segment, just because it's like hilariously bad. Like, I would say, and you could probably attest to this because you've been watching basically your whole
life. Forever.
Like, I think this, not WrestleMania specifically, but the WrestleMania main event is, this is the worst built WrestleMania main event.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because there's just
I never really thought about that, but
like, you can look at other things, and even if the match may not have been super great, most WrestleMania main events have,
they still gave you a reason to care.
They gave, there was a story to it. Because if you were to ask anybody, what's the story to this? Well, Brock's the champ, and Reigns won a shot at it. Okay, but usually there's something personal.
That's
about
pretty
it,
much
right?
It.
It's like, well, not really. Roman is this guy who, well, no, people don't really like him except a few people, and he's really good. Why is he really good? Well, he's big and he beats people sometimes. Okay,
and he has
Brock,
two moves.
Brock is the champ. He only wrestles every once in a while, and he's really good. Well, why is he really good? Because he beat The Undertaker. Okay. So if he beat The Undertaker, how the hell is this guy who hasn't really done anything gonna beat him? Well, because he's really good.
He's Roman Reigns.
It's like, yeah, there's nothing to it. Paul Heyman's trying to, like, in his promos, he tries to make this a big deal, but there really isn't anything to it. The story was like, what's up with Brock's contract? That was literally all that there was, because Brock did, like, they didn't do anything with Roman's family, which they could have.
Yeah.
Even if it would have been kind of lame, there'd be something to it.
Well, and the sad thing is, he has even alluded to his family, I believe, in one of his promos that I was trying to drown out. Because, I mean, and some of his promos have actually been on par, at least. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it's just like, it's the same stuff, and he's talking gibberish that makes no sense.
And those contacts...
Yeah.
Yeah. He looks like an alien or something.
Yeah, he really does.
Like, and something they could have done to actually make the story personal is, like, it's like you said, he was bringing up his family in multiple promos. Why couldn't they have had...
Have Lesnar go, like, slap his mama or something.
Well, not even
I mean, I'm sorry, Edge beat up Cena's dad, so why not?
Well, not even that. Have The Rock come on and, like, start being a mouthpiece for Roman, and then have Brock destroy him.
Yeah,
and...
yep.
Well, I'm
and
surprised.
Then Roman can be like,
I still
think
he should maybe slap his mama, too.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he could do that, too. But...
Just
or,
once.
Or even the Usos, because they're
that's what I was
cousins. Like,
and they're right there.
Have them, like, have Lesnar getting the crap... Or not Lesnar. Have Roman getting the crap kicked out of him by Lesnar, and they come in to help him, and then he just like, ha, no, and just destroys them.
Or just Brock being a deuce, just go beat up the Usos, just to make it personal.
Just to,
Except I feel like they're trying to, like, have him on the fence right now. It's like they don't want him, like... Mega heel or even or even heel. They
That's
want him
why
like, it seems like they want him.
I
on the
really
fence.
Feel like okay, just try to think back to last year. I was actually just thinking about this last night. Remember Undertaker and Brock last year? Partly because both are part timers, but do you remember obviously the match was terrible, but ending was what got people talking. I remember being like, damn, this build sucks. Do you remember that? Like there was decently cool things like there was, like, Undertaker stabbed Brock with a pen and choked him to the table. But other than that, there wasn't much to it. And the build was just, like, very forgettable. So you didn't think much of the match until the ending.
And
so
that might have actually been by design, if you think about it. Because it just came out of nowhere.
I doubt it, but it's worth thinking. Maybe there is going to be some big shenanigans with this.
Well, and, okay, what do you guys think of this? Because obviously it just came out, I think, yesterday that Lesnar has re-signed for, what, 3 years?
A multi-year, I don't
multi-years.
Know.
Multi-years, okay.
I didn't hear how long.
Yeah. It's multi-year, that's all I know.
Which, people obviously are going to have different opinions on that. I personally am not excited because I'm not into him.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of people are very happy about it, and that's cool, too. But, I think it's cool that he's showing a legitimate commitment to the company that got him where he's at. That's respectable. But do you guys think this coming out, you know, WrestleMania week is to maybe get people to think, oh, Lesnar's going to keep the title, and then he doesn't?
That's what, that, I think...
It was just a thought I had last
like,
night.
They announced this, because, I mean, one thing that about the re-signing that I thought was really cool is it just made it feel like a big deal. Like Brock or not, like, he is a big deal. Mm. Like, and it made it feel... Because it was on a channel that I've never heard of, but I think it's called ESPN or something like that.
I think they show sports on it.
So they put it on there, which wrestling doesn't... Or you know, WWE doesn't do that much, which that's pretty cool that it can that it's going across the platforms. But what I'm trying to say is, when people re-sign contracts, they never make a big deal out of it. Mm-hmm. But they did this, so yeah, it is. I think it's playing into this the match. Like, everyone was wondering, okay, Brock is leaving after WrestleMania. Obviously, Reigns is gonna win.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So now it's to make you think, well, if Brock's staying, he can't lose, and then.
That's maybe just Reigns will beat him, yeah. And that's just what I saw from people commenting that mm-hmm. too.
Yeah.
But because I didn't even click into it to read it. I had just seen comments of people going, yeah. "Oh my gosh, maybe Lesnar's going to retain yeah. and all this and that." Mm-hmm. And which was a thought I had as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I just didn't know what you guys yeah. thought.
My only thing with it is it doesn't really bother me if he resigns or didn't sign. Like, I didn't care either way.
Yeah.
Like, I like seeing him around and stuff, but I'm just at the point now, it's like, whatever. But, like, if they do have Roman take the title off him, what's left for Lesnar? He destroyed Cena. He destroyed The Undertaker. He's held the title for how long now? Like, what's since left for him to do that. after he loses the title?
That's a good point.
Really? Yeah.
How do you book him yeah. after yeah. that? That's,
well, it is.
He's the guy,
if it's not in the title scene.
Yeah. He's the guy who did the impossible and beat The Undertaker yeah. WrestleMania streak.
Because, yeah, well, if you
that once, people like Shawn and Triple H have all tried and failed multiple times, yeah. and he comes up and doesn't once. Like,
yeah,
how do you book him after that?
Vince, or not Vince, Reigns is Vince's kind of, well, you know, obviously Vince has big hopes and plans for yeah. Reigns, which is why this is still going on. But at the same time, he obviously loves Lesnar a lot. Mm-hmm. He's paying him a shit ton to do little work. Mm-hmm. And
oh yeah,
I can't hold that necessarily against Lesnar, but that's obviously saying, like, he really wants him. So it makes you think, like you said, what are you, if he loses the title, what's he gonna do? Just fight back for it at the next pay-per-view? Mm-hmm. Like, I would see it be more in Lesnar's character to just be like, I'm out, you know, yeah. after losing, like.
Yeah.
But, so, it is very interesting. I think that doing this has added a bit of unpredictability mm-hmm. to this main event. That's about the only thing I care about, is what's going to happen and what the crowd does to Roman Reigns.
And if there's a cash-in.
Yeah.
Oh, that's exactly, yeah.
And see, that's another thing that makes me excited about it, is because you don't know if he's going to cash-in.
Well, if there's...
feeling he's going to try and attempt to, but whether he's successful or not yeah. is still
an attempt in the air. Is one thing. A fail is if he attempts and it doesn't happen, whatever. But if he yeah. attempts and he loses, I'm going to be so disappointed. Like, yeah. we can't have another failed cash-in.
Which, and I don't think he will have a failed cash-in.
I don't either.
Because he's Triple H's guy.
And they've really done so much with... Yeah. Like, he's been a Money in the Bank holder who's actually been built up well. Mm-hmm. Usually they, like, well, you have this briefcase, so we're going to make you look terrible, so when you cash in...
I don't think it's possible to make Rollins look yeah. bad. Mm-hmm. He just... Everything he does just speaks for itself. Yeah. He's yeah. just so stinking good, it's not even yeah. funny. He's just so gifted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, while we're talking about the main event, I just want to ask, what would be your... Tell me your ideal outcome here. It can be it can be as elaborate as you want. Katrina, it can be... However you want. The outcome, is there a cash-in, is there a turn, whatever you
For the main event?
For the main event outcome.
Well, I've expressed that I'm not invested in it at all yeah. because they've given me no reason to be invested in it. Mm-hmm. And I don't have an interest in Reigns and I don't have an interest in Lesnar. Yeah. And so, to me, I don't care who wins or loses. Mm-hmm. If Rollins cashes in and wins the title, that obviously is going to be my
yes.
ideal outcome. Mm-hmm. However it happens or comes about is whatever. And to me, that's their fault because they've given me no reason to be invested in it. So I'm giving a very concise answer because I'm not invested enough to even say, oh, I think this should happen, and yeah. then this, and then this, and then this, and then Rollins should cash in. Don't care who wins. Rollins cashes in, takes the title. I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
Any other outcome, I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
Truly. Joe? So, especially if it's Reigns. Yeah. I'm sorry, but I don't know. I don't even know who I'm pulling for
yeah.
over Lesnar and Reigns because I don't care. And Lesnar's been the champion forever. And if it was Cena, God forbid, everyone would yeah. be losing their minds.
Yeah.
But Lesnar holds it for months and months and months and months and nobody bats an eye.
Yeah.
So it's like, he has been the champion forever. And he's yeah. not a defending champion.
No.
No,
he's not there. He doesn't go to house shows. So to me, it's just like he needs to lose that title, but does he have to lose it to Reigns? No, he can lose it to Rollins.
Yeah.
So that's my thing.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Rollins is so worthy of it.
Yeah, and I'm the same way. I would ideally for me it would be to see Rollins walk out of WrestleMania as champion. But I think of a cool way they should do it is have Heyman turn on Brock and make it seem like that since Heyman's his manager, he does it all, that without Heyman, Brock can't win.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So then Heyman either turns with Rollins and then Rollins says, screw you to the authority and turns on them and joins with Heyman, or he sides with Reigns. But I think it would be cooler if he sided with Rollins because Rollins and the authority have kind of...
Or does Heyman become an extension of the authority at that point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or and like his Rollins and the authority have kind of had ups and downs the past few months. And they've kind of teased out, oh, maybe Rollins will leave the authority. Well, I think it would be cool if he went with him because that would just add on to his characters that he's smart, he's the planner, he thinks about everything before he does it. It would just make his character look that much better.
Yeah.
So that would, it's not necessarily ideal, but I just think that would be a cool way for them to do it.
Yeah, I definitely think Heyman could be a huge factor here. I think that my, I guess, ideal thing is Lesnar beats Reigns because Reigns hasn't proven why, even in kayfabe, why he would be able to beat Brock Lesnar. Mm-hmm. Cena couldn't do it. Cena and Rollins couldn't do it. Undertaker couldn't do it. Why could Reigns do it? However, Reigns does, you know, quite a number on Lesnar in the match, whatever, if he's they're still selling that broken rib thing. So
I thought you were going to say quite a number of moves, and I was going to be like, what?
A whole three.
A whole three.
So
sorry, go ahead.
So Brock retains, and then, yeah, I think we're all in agreement. We want Seth Rollins to walk out as the champion. Then Rollins cashes in because it's believable. I mean, if Brock is selling that rib injury, Reigns, you know, does some damage. He doesn't win. And then Rollins, the guy who there's been a story between Rollins and Lesnar since Royal Rumble. And I actually thought that was super intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, yeah, have the cash in after Lesnar retains. I really like the stuff you're talking about with Heyman. Mm-hmm. Because I want to believe and hope that they're going to turn Reigns. Because either at WrestleMania or the night after. Because the crowd is going to eat him alive at both of those shows.
Mm-hmm.
It's a perfect opportunity, and they can do one of two turns. They can, or face turns. They can make Brock a face, or they can make Rollins a face. Either one going against Reigns. I'm not saying I necessarily want that, but I think that they could easily do some form of double turn.
Yeah.
With Reigns going heel, because it's so much more natural.
It is.
Well, and he's even started, you know, he's definitely copped an attitude and saying how he doesn't care or whatever about, you know, what people think.
Exactly. It's so just, and
it would be a
like you were talking about, Rollins is kind of getting away from the authority a little bit. I mean, he's still got J&J and Kane and Big Show, but he's kind of been getting into it with them.
Well, and really, don't you feel like he's been more naturally likable because of what's been happening?
I seriously think.
Orton just destroyed him, I was like, what? And
you wanted to see that.
Well, not me, because I like Rollins, but that's the thing where people pay to see him get killed.
Yeah.
But to me, that, in my eyes, that made him more likable, because it was like, what?
Yeah.
He, I mean, he just destroyed him.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. I feel like with the falling outs or the rifts that there's been, he's just kind of naturally become
More I think likeable. That the seeds have been planted for Rollins to soonish or eventually turn face. I really
and that's crazy because
he's so good as a heel.
Yeah,
but I just feel like they're not going to have. You know, if he's on opposite sides of the authority isn't going to be face.
No.
It's much easier for
Well, and for we know he can play a face, and we know people are going to get behind him.
Yeah. I don't know when, but I could just see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I personally wouldn't put Heyman with Rollins. I mean, it would work.
No, I wouldn't either, but
him and Reigns would be
great.
It fixes all problems.
If he's going to turn,
You have Heyman doing his talking, and, you know,
and Reigns just kicking ass.
It's the perfect
thing. But we all know that, you know, they're just going to keep Reigns' face, just like they've kept Cena's face, and then he's going to keep
That's reality.
Doing all this stuff.
people are going to be like,
and people are going to keep mercilessly booing him and falling asleep and going to take a leak during his match.
Exactly.
The only thing that does worry me about if they do have Heyman side with Reigns is we all know Brock can't talk.
But
I have noticed, though, lately they have been letting him talk a little more.
He can, and this is coming from me, he can if his interview is structured. Very structured. But if you just give him a mic and have him cut a promo, he can't. He cannot do it.
Yeah, pre-recorded.
But, exactly.
It's pretty good. And but that's because how many takes? Who wrote
it for him? And it's structured.
Yeah.
So they can ask him a question and he can answer it.
Yeah.
You know, they can ask him a question off camera, film it, and he's answering it. And like you said, they can do another take.
Yeah, but if he were to go out there with a mic, like, and they're, like, who knows what the hell's going to come out
that
of his mouth.
That would be bad.
Yeah, and that's what I was about
to say. It probably involves I'm a mercenary and a lot of screaming like a pterodactyl.
And that's what I was about to say, is that they have let him talk a little more, and it hasn't been terrible.
No.
But it was like, you said it was a behind-the-scenes structured interview, and...
That's what he needs.
If he screws up, they're like, okay, well, we'll shoot it again. Or,
exactly.
And it's probably someone off-camera with a cue card that he's just reading off of, if he knows how to read. If you're listening to this, Lesnar, please don't kill me.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. So... That's the main event there. I wanna talk about, you know, some of the other matches we got here, but I think that's probably the match I'm least looking forward to from a match point, other than just what's gonna happen, outcome, and I just wanna hear the crowd like.
Now that we've picked that apart, let's be more positive.
Yeah. So what do you guys think about The Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt at this year's WrestleMania?
I think Taker will probably win, but I feel like Bray should win, but I have a feeling they're going to have Taker win. Because, like, now that Taker doesn't have his streak intact, there's really nothing for him to lose if he does.
Yeah.
I feel like Bray would be the perfect guy to kind of write Taker off and have him retire that way, but we all know that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see it because anytime you can see The Undertaker, especially now that it's not even few and far between, it's once a year that we see him now. And for how much longer, you know, this could be it. I don't know. I thought last year was it, and I'm glad I get to see him again. Because he debuted in WWE when I was in kindergarten.
Wow.
I mean, and I'm going to be 28 in a couple weeks. So that's a direct representation of how long he's been around and how much he's contributed. But I also think Undertaker's going to win. Not necessarily what I want to see, but I think it took 3 F5s for the streak to end.
Yeah.
So, like, we're not worried about... Obviously, it's not keeping the streak intact, so it's anybody's ballgame. But if it took that many F5s, Bray's going to have to... If Bray's going to beat him, he's going to have a ridiculous amount of credibility.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
I agree.
So, it would have to be something where he just, like, goes off the deep end and just kind of, like, destroys him.
Yeah.
And, obviously, that would get him a lot of heat. At least I would like to think so. But the way the crowd is, it's just you never know what they're going to like and what they're not going to like.
And honestly, I just thought of something they could do. And it would be a DQ finish, but Bray just keeps pulling everything out. He can't do it. So he just loses it and just grabs a chair
and
or something.
You
and
know
just
how
beats
he
the...
You know how he's so good at like playing crazy? It's like like in his feud with Cena, it was like he would like slip out of it and like look so like panicked, like where am I? What's going on? Like I think they could play into that really well. And if he's gonna win, it's gonna have to be that way. Like he just goes crazy, just completely goes off the deep end. But I do see The Undertaker probably winning it.
Yeah.
Which not necessarily what I want because, you know, Bray should get the win because, you know, it's the next generation of, you know, it's really the ultimate form of passing on the torch because Bray is the closest thing to The Undertaker that we have now.
And I think it was Chris that said, Bray's one of those guys, he doesn't necessarily need the win. He can bounce back from a loss pretty well, and it just, he's one of the guys that lost helps his character, like his story, build more than a win would. But you still need those big wins to make it feel legitimate.
I mean, let's say the Undertaker was just a more fresher character. Let's say the Undertaker had just debuted recently. You look at the character, and yeah, when you look back on the Undertaker, you're always like, he was a character who, when he had the title, he didn't really need it. Mm-hmm. But he needed to get those title victories to establish that credibility. Yeah. And I think Bray's the same way. Like, yeah, you look at him, and you don't think he needs to be carrying around the world heavyweight title. But he needs to have it on his accolades. Like, so when in 5 years or 10 years, you look back and you're like, Bray, he held the world title. Like, mm-hmm. doesn't matter how long it was. Doesn't matter exactly what happened, because what you're going to remember is he was a world champion. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's what helped establish The Undertaker, was all those title reigns. They may not have been hugely memorable, but you have to have them to be taken seriously. And not in this case, it's not titles, it's victories. And yeah, Bray hasn't gotten a whole lot of big victories, mm-hmm. but here's his chance to get the biggest. Mm-hmm. And I also think Undertaker will win just because he lost so hard last year, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't think... I think Undertaker, if it were up to him, he would say, I should lose this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there may be a bigger plan with this for a story into next year. What I imagine is Undertaker's going to win, Sting's going to win, and they're going to have a final match next year. Personally, as cool as that is... And I love The Undertaker, but I think the story just needs to end here.
Yeah.
He lost last year, and I think, like, it's really sad to think about, but I think Undertaker needs to come into this as not The Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
He's broken.
He has nothing
left. His character has nothing left. Mm-hmm. And Bray needs to capitalize on that and
well,
put
if
him down.
If that were to happen, I wouldn't be opposed to that, but that would need to be the last time we saw him.
That's exactly.
Because I'm really big on that's not how I want to remember somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, no, I agree. It's just the Undertaker character, like, he's such an over-the-top character anyways, you know?
Mm-hmm.
His story, it needs to end with the Ultimate putting over Bray, basically mm-hmm. absorbing his soul. Like, I know everyone says it, and it's kind of cheesy and over the top, but look at your characters.
Undertaker, yeah, exactly.
And Bray Wyatt. Mm-hmm. I say go all out with that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, some people may not get into that or may think, like, wow, what am I watching here? This is really lame. But I think when you have two supernatural beings like that, capitalize mm-hmm. on it. Yep. This is your chance to do that kind of stuff.
The only problem with that is they would need to have had a better build-up and Undertaker actually being mm-hmm. there in order for that to happen, I think. But I think it would be fantastic. Yeah. And even if they do it right, I think it could work.
Like, I want this to be like you're watching a movie and it's one of your favorite characters is, like, dying. You're witnessing them die. Like, mm-hmm. it's really, really sad.
Well, and some people kind of feel like they saw the start of that last year.
Yeah, and it needs to be emotional.
Mm-hmm.
It's the end, you know? And I don't want Undertaker to be gone, but there's nothing left, so why not let his story...
Right.
And then Bray will always be remembered as the guy who... ended the Undertaker, and it's Undertaker's last match.
You don't get much more credibility than that.
Yeah, Brock beat the streak, and if it weren't for, the story that I'm seeing is, if it weren't for Brock, Bray wouldn't be able to do this, you know what I mean? Mm. Brock basically killed the Undertaker, and Bray is just, in a way, he's doing him a favor. He's like, dude, let me just let you rest.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at it from a very story standpoint, and I think it's a really good story told in the match. Kind of like if you think of Brock and Cena, like, at SummerSlam, you think, like, that wasn't a very good match because it wasn't back and forth and there wasn't... But it was a story told.
But you felt very emotional about it.
And you'll always remember that. I want this to be like that. Because you're going to have Orton and Rollins at WrestleMania to be an amazing match.
Yeah.
You're going to have Sting and Triple H to be a good
epic
match, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. You're going to have Cena and Rusev. You're going to have a ladder match. You're going to have... all these other matches, let this one be the story match, because mm-hmm. that's who you're dealing with. That's what I think, personally.
Well, and with the two guys who are in it, we both know that they're both incredible wrestlers and that they can do crazy things, and we all know that they can both tell a story in their ring. So, capitalize on that. Let it be a decent match, but let them tell that story. Let them tell the story of Undertaker's demise, basically.
Exactly. It's the perfect time to be like Game of Thrones, be like Walking Dead, be like your favorite movie. It's a story written for them, and I hope they capitalize on it. So we've got Sting and Triple H. That is just awesome because we're going to get to see Sting freaking wrestle in WWE. Like, and it's against Triple H, a dude who, I don't know how old he is, maybe 45-ish or
probably
something like
that.
But he can still go big time. Like, he can go with anybody. So Sting is 55, and I think this match is going to be great. Like,
I feel like it's like, okay, you know when you're in elementary school and you have hot lunch every day, and it's like there's the birthday lunch where you get the cupcake and the ice cream and the corn dog.
Oh,
and
yeah, that's
like
the best.
All the stuff you want. That's how I feel like when Triple H gets in the ring.
Yes.
Now, because it happens, it's like it's you know, March birthday lunch at elementary school. That's how I feel because it doesn't happen very often. And you miss seeing Triple H in the ring.
Yeah.
And so by the time he gets there, you're salivating for that moment when he's going to wrestle again.
And when
does. And it's against Sting, like you said. Yeah. Like, I didn't think that he actually ever would come work for Vince. Yeah. I didn't think that he would. And, he came and worked for TNA, which was, like, so cool because I got to go and see him when we'd go see TNA. So that was really good that he did that, but I still didn't see him working for Vince. It was almost like one of those, hell freezes over type
things. Yeah, it's crazy. It's happening.
The fact that we get to see him wrestle and we get to see him wrestle against Triple H, it's totally the cupcake and ice cream and corn dog meal for
me. That's a good way to put it.
And like for me, all the rumors I was hearing up to the point was that it was going to be Sting and Undertaker. Yeah. And yes, everyone wants to see that match and it would be a good match, but they're both 50, 60-year-old guys. Like, they're both older. It probably wouldn't be that great of a match because they don't have that young guy to kind of bounce off. But as soon as I heard that it was going to be Sting and Triple H, I'm like, okay, I'm still
because Triple H can still go.
Yeah. Well, he proved it last year with Daniel Bryan.
Well, and it's because he's guys. But it's because he's so smart. Like, he realizes now that he needs to really pace out the time he has left. Yeah. And that's what he's doing. And that's going to, in 5 years, I bet he can still step in the ring.
It's just phenomenal.
In 10 years, he can probably still step in the ring because he has paced it out. He's made that decision.
It never crosses your mind, like, oh, Triple H is getting up there. Because in the ring, it's the same, you know? It feels like nothing has changed.
Yeah. Yep.
So I'm definitely looking forward to that match just because who's in it?
It'll be like a big epic thing.
Yeah, that's why the thing about this WrestleMania, like, when you really think about it, there's a lot of the matches are filled with part-timers, which kind of sucks for the builds. And I'm just talking strictly for the matches. It's something cool to just know, like, this is the only place you're going to get to see Undertaker, Sting, Triple H, Brock Lesnar, all, if I'm missing any other part-timers, but those four for sure, all in one place.
Because they're actually all going to be there.
Like, even though the builds have been lacking, and I'm not justifying that, I'm just saying, if you think about it, like, it's going to be a pretty cool night. Like, you're getting to see all this in one night. That's why it is WrestleMania. So that alone kind of getting me a little bit more excited.
I guess that gives, like, makes the part-timer thing make a little more sense.
I wish that they weren't all, stacking there to
it is almost ruin like a
the builds. But, like, when you're actually watching it, it's like, I can't believe I'm seeing this. Yeah. Like, it's cool.
It's kind of like Raw 1000 when everybody and their pet duck was there.
Yeah. And honestly, to me, I feel like the Sting and Triple H story is the one that's been built up the most. Because they've been building it since, Survivor Series?
And
the last few weeks, Sting's been there every
been cool he's actually been there. Because that's another one you can't just have all mind games. Like, I'm totally cool with Undertaker not being there until WrestleMania. That makes perfect sense. Yeah. But Sting had to show up eventually,
Yeah.
So what do you guys think about this ladder match for the Intercontinental title? I think it's going to be the show stealer. I mean, if you look who's in it, it's kind of odd how there's seven and not six or eight. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but everyone in there, I could see it going anyway. There's probably two people who stand out the most of who I think is going to win, but
I do like, if nothing else, how it gives so much more prestige and meaning to the Intercontinental title.
It actually
which
does.
That title has been really getting screwed over.
Yeah.
Because it's not been booked properly and the champions aren't booked properly and the you know, the number one contender challenge, you know, this person is challenging. None of it's booked properly. No. So it's nice that they almost were like, because, you know, Money in the Bank's not a WrestleMania staple anymore. Yeah. It's like they made this the, you know, the like that attraction.
Yeah, which...
And the fact that it's for the Intercontinental title, I think is great.
Mm-hmm. It's
I yeah, really it's do like that amazing. A lot.
Because it actually does... Like, everyone talks about they need to make it more prestigious and stuff, but this, it really does. Like, everybody wants it, and they're willing to fight for it
yeah.
in a ladder match. All of these guys.
And that's exactly right, because you look at the title now, and you're like, oh, man.
Everybody wants this.
That's
thing,
a cool
you know?
Title. Yeah. Because of how... They've actually even been physically fighting over it, which I think is symbolic, because it's really like, oh, you want to physically fight over it? Let's put it above the ring, and you can, you know, you can really fight over it and
that
see
is
who
one
deserves
that's been
it.
Built well.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. The only thing about it I didn't like is that every person in it got the title shot because they stole the title. Like
exactly.
How come someone
that's
like
what I mean.
Hornswoggle
like,
walk up and go, oh, I'm going to take this title and run
off
with it.
Literally anyone
like,
could have just been like, I won in that match.
Yeah.
And they just take it, yeah.
Like that was the only thing that didn't really make sense to me. But besides that, I like the way it's been built. I like the way how they've all been fighting for it. And then like, oh, well, let's make them tag together. And then all hell just breaks loose between them all. And,
yeah, definitely. So I'm just curious... I want to talk a little bit about some of the other matches. So all I want to know is, who do you want to walk out Intercontinental Champion?
I honestly don't care who wins. The only one who I don't really want to see win is R-Truth.
You're racist! No, I'm just kidding.
And it's nothing against him, it's just...
Well, no, I get you.
I don't know, I'm just not that behind him, I guess. And he's just that... Like
it's
the,
really, I
like
thought
the thing,
it was
like, one of these things
the
that's not belong or whatever.
Yeah, he's been really entertaining and funny, but I don't want him as the Intercontinental.
Yeah, like, he doesn't really...
I get what you're saying.
I feel like he doesn't really belong in the match. Like, I feel like they could have found someone...
Goldust.
Yeah.
Stardust is in the match.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, they could have found...
Right.
But,
other people to
so if you had to pick
it.
One. I mean, it's not like you're held a gunpoint or anything. I'm just curious. If you had to pick one, who do you want walking out Intercontinental champ?
I don't know. I'd probably have to go with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Just because he's never held up before. And
true.
I think it's like what we're talking about. It's not very prestigious, but I think he could build it back up to where it should be.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Katrina?
Well, I think Bryan is kind of an obvious choice because clearly if we're going her Derby plus player, you might as well put the Intercontinental title on him while you're at it.
Yeah.
But again, like Schlappi said, that would definitely restore some prestige to it. So I would like to see that, and that's something that I think he would enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
He's so good at just growing where he's planted,
mm-hmm.
which is funny because he's all into organics and stuff. So that was kind of fun. But he's really good at finding a happy place wherever he is.
Yeah.
And that's cool. I think everybody can learn a lesson from that. Yeah. So I think that he would not think he was above carrying that title.
No.
And I think he would be a great champion. If not him, I would say Wade Barrett because I would like... Oh, Bad News Barrett, because I would like to see him just do stuff that doesn't involve losing, because he's so much better than they book him.
Yeah,
so
when you have someone who is, like, such a badass like him, yet every match he looks like a chump, like, loses every match.
And that's not cool at all to me.
And the fact that his story is that he's...
A bad champion, basically.
Well, before it was that he was a big, like, street fighter, a big, like...
Well, now his
story that's what he
is...
did, but now it's just, oh, well... He's the champ. We're going to have him lose.
Yeah, basically.
But he wins the big ones when it matters. Like,
yeah. But yeah, I agree. I would be fine with basically anyone winning this. But I think, I'd go Daniel Bryan too. Because like you said, put it on the biggest star in the match.
Mm-hmm.
And that's already going to raise it, you know? And that leads to the next match, U.S. title. I think putting the title on John Cena is a smart move.
Mm-hmm.
Putting the Intercontinental on Daniel Bryan is a smart move because you have your two
titles
being held by basically the two top faces.
Basically Katrina's
so
husbands.
It's really, they've got a smart thing there. I love Rusev. It's going to be sad to see him lose just because, you know, it's an undefeated streak.
Well, my thing is...
But I'm okay with it because if it weren't for the U.S. title, I'd be a little bit more...
Mm-hmm.
But Cena's gonna win it. Who knows how long he's gonna hold it? But just him having it, it's gonna raise it.
Mm-hmm.
John Cena, the man,
it's gonna be 2004
has the
again.
United States title, and I think it's smart.
It
sucks to see Rusev lose.
Well,
But I think he's going to be all right.
Well, it's getting boring, and I love Rusev.
Yeah.
But it's like, ho-hum, Rusev, you know.
No, yeah.
It's kind of like, spoiler alert, Rusev wins.
Yeah.
You know,
Rusev
and,
wins, yeah.
Yeah. People like to joke about someone who never wins, and it's like, not okay. But yeah. Rusev wins all the time, and it is okay.
Yeah.
And I love Rusev, but I'm going, okay, you know,
we could really,
yeah, we could really do something else now. Because him losing doesn't mean that, you know.
Over.
Yeah, I mean,
he can always win the title.
There's so
back.
Much more. Yeah. There's so much more he's gonna do.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but there's no shame in losing to Cena.
No.
Yeah.
Lol, Cena wins. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
The guy who always wins versus the guy who always wins. Somebody's gotta lose.
Yeah, it is
exactly. It's, yeah. Every match is just a DQ finish.
Yeah. But if that spinny belt comes back,
that would be. That would be awesome.
I would probably cry because
yeah,
I would be awesome. the spinning United States belt. I love that thing.
And another reason why I'd be okay with Cena winning is if they do have Brock retain, then you need exactly. someone who can hold a title and
be able to main event house shows
or.
I honestly think that would be very smart if Brock's gonna retain. Because he's
actually that does make
he's
a lot
not
of
gonna,
sense.
That way you could have your main event on Raw even be. The Intercontinental title.
Mm-hmm.
The
well, United and States people title. Are going to want to see that if, you know, say Daniel Bryan's
I think it's an actual, if that's what their plan is or something from this, I think that's
it's
really smart.
Them, yeah.
It will bring the prestige up. So, obviously that match, Rusev and Cena, is going to be really good at
and actually the build-up's been phenomenal.
Yeah,
for
the
they've
Fastlane
had the best
match
build-up.
Was really good.
The
I
only...
loved the match at Fastlane, mm-hmm. and I know this is going to be good.
Yeah.
So, I'm excited for
the
that.
The only complaint I have about the build-up is that the fact that the whole feud started over Rusev, it's like them just kind of touching, like butting heads.
It
like,
was an odd start.
That didn't really make sense to me.
They all have to start
me.
Somewhere, I guess.
Yeah, but I feel like they could have found a better way to start it.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with them feuding. I don't really care who wins.
Yeah.
I just want to see a good match, and I know I will.
I do
so.
Agree. It was kind of odd just after a pay-per-view, like, hey, you came in my interview. I'm going to beat you up. But, but you, here we are now, you know. So... just real quick, AJ Page, Bellas, I think we've talked about this. We probably would have rather it been a Fatal 4-Way.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly really don't care about that match a whole lot.
Because, like, that's a Raw match, you know?
Mm-hmm.
A tag Divas match. Honestly, at this point, as long as they just give them time to have a good match, whatever, that's fine. But it really
because
those
four can definitely get
stuff
done in the ring.
So give them time, give Divas a chance, and it'll be good. It's just, they could have even done the thing where it's like, well, whoever pins Nikki becomes the champ. Or whoever gets the pinfall, I should say, becomes the champ. So if Brie pins Paige, Brie becomes the champ. You know, make it just interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's a tag match, they've done that before. Whoever gets the pinfall. So everyone is fighting for that pinfall.
So it could be like Paige goes to cover Brie or
and
whatever.
Like, no.
And yeah,
but
and
Nikki at the same time is like, no. So I think that would have been interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But either way.
It would be a good way to throw a monkey wrench in on it.
Yeah.
Well, and especially since they had that whole little, like, Paige and AJ started fighting on Raw.
Yeah, there's a story there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, obviously it's going to turn out to probably be another Paige-AJ feud, but...
Yeah.
Most likely they're going to not be, you know, like, they'll end up fighting in the middle of the match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
so
will probably get the belt.
That'll make it even more annoying.
Yeah. Yep. So, Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, bringing it back. Bunch of names are in there. Anybody stand out to you as... who you think's going to win or who you want to win? Or do you see anything coming out of this? Only thing I can see is maybe the Miz and Mizdow story really carrying on.
Mm-hmm.
And if Sheamus returns and wins. I honestly don't know
if Sheamus returns and puts himself in the match, there's no way
no
he's
No one
not
seems
winning.
Like a super clear winner.
I'm just really excited to see whichever NXT guy ends up in it.
Oh my gosh, yes.
The only thing I really want to see of it is, like you guys said, the NXT guy. And I want to see, like, Mizdow eliminate the Miz or build their story up somehow so they can have a match at Extreme Rules.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure that's what they're...
Yeah.
It has to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, besides that, I don't really care who wins. And I would like to see the whole Axel thing continue. Like, he doesn't... Like, he gets eliminated, but it's not a decisive elimination.
Yeah. They need to carry that
on. For the record,
because...
I think he's hilarious.
Yes.
I think he's great.
This is the most anyone's been behind him since his debut.
Because I haven't really cared for him until
this is the genesis of McGillicuddy. <Yeah. laughs>
I think what he's doing is really great.
Yeah. So don't kill it off. Like, have him Yeah, go under the... Have him be eliminated through the second rope so he wasn't actually eliminated. And then next night on Raw, he's like, I wasn't... Yeah.
Or even have someone come... Like, if Sheamus is in it, have Sheamus bro kick him so hard it knocks him out.
What if he came around after all this and won the darn thing?
That would be great.
Wouldn't that be like... I think it would be awesome.
Yeah, I would be all okay.
I think it would be great.
And then for the rest of the...
Because then he doesn't shut up about it.
And then for the next 6 months or whatever, he comes out like, oh, I deserve a title shot.
It writes itself.
So I should be main eventing.
And he can just be this loudmouth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think, really, I think just talking about it has gotten me a little more excited.
Yeah,
I agree.
For WrestleMania. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be fun to see what happens. And it's going to be fun to see... What the crowd does to Reigns, honestly. And we've got the night after WrestleMania, which I'm just as excited for.
I feel like I'm more excited for the Raw after than I am.
It's always a good one. Mania. It's going to be exciting. I'm pumped.
Oh, and we forgot a match.
What's that?
What do you guys think about the tag match?
Oh, yeah. That should be on the actual card. I think it'll be fun. It'll be exciting. Mm. It's just kind of... interesting because this is the exact same match they gave us last year on the pre-show, not the exact same teams, but a fatal four-way tag for the titles.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they just see that as a pre-show match. I think that should
that should fits be on the card. Yeah,
but either way, out of the teams in it, and because they're awesome, I hope Kid and Cesaro retain, because
and honestly, and I think they will too, because who are the teams? Kid and Cesaro, Usos,
Los Matadores, Usos, and New Day.
Yeah, at all those teams, the only ones possibly see winning are Usos.
They don't need it.
And what are they, Masters of the Universe?
Yeah, basically.
Is what they call themselves. Well,
they call themselves a bunch of stuff, but nothing sucks.
those are the only two teams who I actually see
and
winning.
And they're just getting better every week. Like,
and the thing is, they have Natalya to kind of help as a distraction, too. So they
one thing that's interesting is every team has a... someone in their
corner. Oh, yeah, that's
true.
Xavier
Woods,
Naomi, El Torito, and Natalya. So that's actually kind of interesting.
Yeah, I actually hope that plays in.
But the fact that the Ascension is not in that match is very annoying.
It's terrible.
Or primetime players.
You're right.
Yep.
But
like, as much as I like the guys in New Day, I'm not really behind the tag team all that much.
No, and the fact that Los Matadores are in it, like...
Yeah, I'm so done with them.
Yeah.
If they didn't have the short shit in a bull costume... They wouldn't still be on.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm serious.
No, I agree.
It's just kind of silly to me.
Like, the whole bull thing was cool, like the whole BLC and all that, but
That was a surprisingly good match.
Yeah, I'm done with it now. What else are you going to do?
Yeah.
I'm just so excited that Cesaro and Kid are the champions, though, because they're two, like, standalone. They've become two of my favorite guys on the main roster.
Like, and when I heard they were putting them together as a tag team, I'm like, well, I can kind of see it, but it doesn't really make sense. But now that it's actually happened, I'm like, this is great. They're perfect.
Yeah,
like, they're perfect to be together.
They're very fluid.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, WrestleMania 31. It's going to be awesome.
You're here. I'm here. Let's do this!
So, Katrina, we hear that you went to the first NXT house show outside of Florida in Columbus. What was that like, experiencing the very first one that's out of Florida?
Well, I actually have stated in no uncertain terms that the Saturday of that weekend was the best day of my entire life, and it really was. And when I said, it's funny because when I said that to Bailey on Saturday, she said, oh, even better than Thursday, which is when the actual show in Columbus was. And I said, well, yeah, I said Thursday's is a close second, really. But on Saturday and Sunday, it was just, it was like hour after hour of matches and Q&As and autograph sessions. Yeah. And they said no pictures allowed, but they were letting us take pictures. So it was just hour after hour of direct interaction with some of the people that mean the most to me in the entire world.
Yeah.
So it was just the coolest.
Yeah.
It was definitely the best experience ever. And I've been to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And this blew WrestleMania out of the water for me.
So basically, it was, you went to Columbus on Thursday, and there was the first live event outside of Florida, which we got to see some of on the network, and we got to see you on the network.
Yes,
so that
I made my network debut.
So what was that venue like for it? Because, I mean, you've seen it, the Full Sail Arena and stuff. How did it feel I don't know. Did it feel like a good... Was it a good venue for a wrestling show?
Yes. Especially for NXT, because it was a concert hall, actually. Yeah. So there was a stage, which is where they put the set. They put some chairs up on the stage. But it was a more intimate setting, which Full Sail is a more intimate setting. It's not a big, you know, 20,000 seat arena. There were probably, I would say, tops 2,500 fans in the building. So it just made for a nice, cozy setting. Intimate. And by cozy, I mean there was no room to even move because we were nice severely smashed on the floor. Nobody could even, like, get out. If one person had to get out, everybody had to stand up and move, which got really annoying during matches.
Yeah.
But it really was, like, a tight-knit, like, a family, because everybody around me was so nice, and, like, I would just, like, cry and scream and fly off the deep end. They were just like, well, you're having a great time. You know, somebody, the guy that sat in front of me tweeted me that night and said, hey, you know, thanks for making the show a bit more fun.
Oh, that's
so awesome. That was cool, because I thought I was just annoying the crap out of everybody. Because well, that, I had no control over myself. That's good that,
you know, people around you were cool and stuff. You were that's really a part of history, you know?
Yeah.
And did it feel like it when you were there? Like,
yes.
Or were you just kind of, like, enjoying it?
Cause, I mean,
you really were.
I was trying to take it all in, because I was supposed to be in the third row. And several matches in, I actually got to be in the second row. And I was right there on the aisle where, like, they come off the stage, down the steps, and they walk right by me to get to the steps and into the ring. So I was right there. I couldn't have had a better spot.
Yeah, it looked awesome.
And so just for interaction and seeing everybody, you know, firsthand, and holding up my signs, because I had many, it was just the perfect place to be. The only thing that would have made it more perfect is if I was in the front row.
Yeah.
But so it was... I was just taking it in the whole time, and I got mic'd once during intermission because
that's awesome.
Greg Hamilton was walking around and just kind of talking to different fans, and so he just walked up to me and was like, "So, Finn Balor shirt," and I'm like, "Yes,
that's me."
That would be me, and he asked me what I thought of seeing Finn Balor. And I said that this was obviously the first time I'd seen him in person.
Yeah.
That, you know, he had become easily one of my favorites on the roster. And I told him, honestly, the entire experience, not just Finn Balor, the entire experience has this has been one of the greatest things I've ever done.
Yeah.
And so it was cool. Hearing yourself in the arena is really weird. And Jerry said he was, like, walking to go to the bathroom or something. My brother Jerry was up in the balcony. And he said he stopped dead because he was like, "That's Katrina." And he looked down and saw me talking into the mic. And so
it
really was just something where there was just so much to take in. It was so overwhelming.
Yeah.
And every time somebody came out, it was just like the coolest thing. And seeing some of them, seeing a look of recognition on their face. I haven't seen these people since the end of June last year. And they saw me once, maybe twice. Bailey right away was like, "Oh, it's you!" And I was like, now I was holding my sign, and she remembered that. But she told me on Saturday when I saw her that, "Oh, it was so cool coming down the steps, and the first person I saw was you." And that, like, I, like, started crying when she told me that. And then she reached across the table and hugged me for, like, the fourth time. But they remembered seeing me. They remembered who I was before I even mentioned the sign or showed them the sign.
Yeah.
The ones that I saw last summer remembered who I was. And that's a huge testament to how much they appreciate their fans.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have to, like, whip out the sign and be like, "Hey, remember this?"
Yeah, they just knew.
Like, they would see the picture and be like, "This was in Leesburg, Florida." And I'm like, "Yeah."
Well, that's cool.
Wait. And they'd be like, "Oh, this was," like, Adrian was like, "This was last year, right?" And I said, "Yeah, last summer." And he said, "It was in Leesburg." I said, "Yeah." And Enzo could tell you it was in Leesburg. And how he, you know, and, oh, it was just so cool.
Yeah, that's...
I could talk about it all day.
Now, you were obviously just talking about how you met a bunch of them this time and that you got autographs. Like, what was the best experience with meeting one, whether it was for the second time or the first time?
Enzo is just always such a good guy. Mm. And he was so real. He really is the realest guy in the room. And he said that...
How are you doing?
You don't know how much it means to us to have somebody who's willing to do this, to travel, to go, you know. And I told him, I think I do because I know how it makes me feel inside to see you guys. Mm-hmm. And we just, like, hugged, and it was so real.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. And there was getting accidentally punched in the face by Sammy when he was trying to hug me, and then he was like, he was like, oh my gosh, I'm sorry. And I was like, sorry, I'm sorry.
Since he's Canadian.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, it's okay. And he said, yeah, leave it up to me to ruin a good hug. But
nope, just made it better.
Yeah, exactly. But I had just told him that this was the best day of my life. And this was even in the middle of the day. The day wasn't even done yet, but I knew that this was the best day of my life. And I told him that, and he was just like, aw, and then went to hug me, and right in my face.
Way to ruin the moment, Sam.
But that was cool. Obviously, meeting Finn Balor for the first time was, like, my goal in life, basically, was to get a selfie with him. And he was the first one who, you know, I went through his line first because he was one of the first ones signing. And so we get up there, and they were still of the mindset that, you know, we are Alpha Security and you're not allowed to take pictures at that time. So I was like, okay, so Jerry snuck one of us, and we both look really stupid, and it's awesome. But so after that, I was like, okay, there's no line, and I saw him still over there signing. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go back over and see if I can, you know, get this picture or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was just funny because I went up and said, okay, so I drove 5 hours from Illinois, and I said, I decided before I left to come here that my number one goal, my number one priority for the entire weekend, and this is not an exaggeration, was to get a picture with him. And he, like, looks at the security guard and then looks at me and, like, gets his smile on his face and goes, let's do this. So we took a selfie, and then the next day I ended up going through his line twice. So it was a total of, like, 4 times that I ended up going through his line for one reason or another. But he was just so personable and like easy to talk to. Cause at first I was like, oh my gosh, it's Finn Balor. But when you realize how personable he is, it's just like the next time I went through the line, I was like, blah, 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 blah. You know? And so he just, they're all very easy to talk to.
Yeah. And all the pictures, Finn looked like just so happy.
I really think he was.
You can't help but smile when you look at a picture of Finn, like, either with a like huge grin.
Just having a great time.
He either looked extremely happy or like a spaz.
Yeah.
Which I think describes him perfectly.
Yeah, he's
a happy spaz.
Jerry and I decided he's, I called him a squirrel because he's just squirrely. He's goofy. But yeah, it was a ton of fun just kind of like getting to talk to him and just seeing how much personality he has. Yeah. And there were so many that were great, and like getting a picture with both the vaudevillains at the same time, because it's no secret that they're like two of my favorites, and they were so nice to me, and they both knew exactly who I was. And Aiden, especially Aiden, I barely saw last year, but he remembered having a conversation because he said, oh, didn't you come last summer from Illinois? And I was like, oh my gosh. I'm like, yeah.
That's right.
And he goes, okay, I know we've had this conversation, but what part of Illinois are you from? And I told him, and he's like, oh, I'm from, and I said, Chicago. I know.
Oh, that's cool.
I remember this conversation too. But it was great because I was like wearing their shirt, and they're like, oh, here's a lady with class. And, you know, I
wouldn't go that far.
So I got in a picture with them, and then I took a picture of the two of them sitting at the table, and I said, this is going on Twitter. And so I instantly put it on Twitter after I got back to my spot at the guardrail. And they both, like, retweeted and stuff. And Aiden, like, doesn't retweet anything. So that was really cool.
That's awesome.
So.
Yeah, I mean, it just sounds like literally, like, the best thing ever. Yeah. Like, NXT.
It really NXT was day, the best thing,
like,
ever.
Because, yeah, you were there for the show Thursday. And then over the weekend was the Arnold Sports.
All day Friday, like, all day Saturday. Just, yeah.
Because I saw all your pictures, and I've seen the little things they put up and stuff, and it just looked like so cool. Like they treated,
it was the best.
I mean, obviously there was a sports festival going on, but they made it such a big deal.
And yeah, they really did.
They had to
there weren't chairs. Like there were stands further back, but there weren't chairs like around ringside. So if you went and you wanted to stay up front all day, you stood all day. You didn't go to the bathroom. You didn't eat. Like, it's crazy, but I literally didn't, I didn't eat, drink, or go to the bathroom all day. And I didn't care because it was just like...
Worth it.
I didn't even realize that any of those life processes needed to happen.
Well, that just shows
because
how much
I had like everything I could ever want right in front of me. And so by the end of the show, my feet were killing me. But like, and I'll never forget, Corey Graves came over and shook my hand and said, "Hey, thanks for hanging out with us all day." And I said, I would never be anywhere else, ever.
Yeah.
I said, "This is my favorite thing in the entire world." And he said, "Wow, we really appreciate that." And, of course, the next day there I was again. On the other side, but up front the whole time.
Yeah, it's just
so
awesome. Glad you got to, you know, be a part of that, because that's something you will never, ever forget. And it
definitely
probably
not.
Be hard to top that. Like, I mean, like you've said, like,
you've been
to WrestleMania, but that was, like, your WrestleMania. Like,
it was my WrestleMania. Yeah. And
I hope someday to,
if somebody gave
like
me
that,
door number one, which is WrestleMania experience, and WrestleMania, or door number two, which is NXT, I honestly think I would pick NXT again.
Yeah.
Because just there's nothing better than getting to see those guys and girls and talk to them. And
it's like a kind of a, it's like a closer, intimate kind of thing. Like, you actually get the experience to meet them, to really get to know them outside of the ring. Like, it gives you more of an appreciation for what they're even doing in there and outside. Like,
well, and they have such an appreciation for who you are as
fans,
as a fan who might have crossed two states to come see you.
Like you said,
which
everyone,
in that case I had. And they remembered my whole thing from Florida, which blew my mind. I thought maybe a couple of them would, but I didn't even have to show a sign, and they knew that they remembered my face, or they remembered the picture of us that they were now signing. So
yeah, it sounds awesome, and I hope sometime we can do that together sometime if they come around. But oh man, NXT is just blowing up, and it's awesome.
It is the best.
It's all about the money. It's all about the money.
Thanks for listening to our WrestleMania week podcast, the Ringside Radio. We'll be sure to do one a little after WrestleMania. Talk about what's going on then. And yeah, thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it, and hope you enjoy WrestleMania 31. So I'm Grim Chorizo.
I'm Sloppy Joe.
And I'm Katrina Cena.
And we will see you next time.